Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Just as you're seated, those of you that are still standing, turn around, look at the ones that are still seated and go, I'm going to be joining you in a minute. Turn around and look at someone next to you and say, it is good to be with you in the house of the Lord. And then please be seated. I'm not going to preach a message. I'm just going to give you a message. There's a portion of scripture. I read it out earlier. I preached in our first service. And I preached a message that was entitled, Owning Your Future. And I want you to know that your future is held in God's hands. No one else can take it away from Him. He's the one that has set everything out in front of you. And I'm not a fatalist, but I am someone that believes that God has a plan. And there's an individual plan for each one of us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us this, that we're His masterpiece. Every one of you is unique. You're created differently. Thank God for that. Amen. Imagine we were all the same. Clone-looking things. Huh? I once got a book. It said the book was entitled How to Make People Like You. And it was actually a book about cloning. Some of you will get that later on. But God has made us all individual and unique, and He has a plan for each one of our lives. But the problem is that some of us fall into ineffectiveness in our lives. We kind of slip into it. And we have a desired future that we want to see. And sometimes we have dreams that we've dreamed. But then sometimes we wait, and sometimes some of those dreams don't come to pass. We were out for a meal with a friend of ours. He took us out for my wife's birthday. And at the end of the meal, he said to me, so what's your dreams for the future? And at the time, you know what? I was stumped. Because I'd been so caught up in helping everyone else's dreams take place over the past year, dealing with situations, dealing with problems, dealing with challenges, that I'd stopped dreaming for myself. And in becoming very efficient at taking care of God's business and of the business of the church, you know, structurally, it's a great church. You know, ethically, we're a great church. We have fantastic team emphasis in place. There is opportunity for people. In becoming very efficient, I'd stop being very effective. Because in serving the greater good, which is good, I'd lost sight of my vision within the vision. And sometimes that can happen. And it can happen for various different reasons. But that effectiveness is very important, because you want to see an outcome, right? You want to see that the diet that you've got on, actually you've lost weight rather than you've just suffered. I don't know about you, I don't go on diets anymore. You know why? Because they don't work for me. Just as simple as that. I can eat, check this out, how does this work? Help me out, someone can help me out. Mathematician, biologist, physicist, someone who's clever. How much does a Mars bar weigh? 200 grams? 250 grams, right? How can you eat a Mars bar that weighs 250 grams and put on 2 pounds? How is that even possible? If I stuck it in my pocket and got on the scales, I'd only weigh an extra 250 grams. But as soon as it goes in my mouth, it doubles, trebles, quadruples. It's not fair. But you want to see an effectiveness. You want to see an outcome. There's a portion of scripture I want to read you about a man, a prophet by the name of Elisha. And he had a group of young men that he was training, equipping. They were called the sons of the prophets. And they were in a place, the Bible tells us, it was around a place called Gilgal. Gilgal traditionally is associated with commitment and covenant. It was a place that was associated with commitment and covenant. And they had this place there. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, we see this in verse 1. It says, the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Now, immediately, this starts looking like they're growing out of it. It's good. How many of you know we like growing out of stuff? Except our dresses. Hello. Our jeans. Come on now. Some of my pastoral staff wear their jeans like pregnant women that don't want to dress like a pregnant woman yet. You know when they have the big belly and then they have normal jeans but just under the belly like that. Some of my guys are like that. Come on now. Amen. I'm even like that sometimes. Sometimes growth is good, but not unhealthy growth. And unhealthy growth can come if you're not released into that growth in the right way. See, we look at it and we think they wanted to go because the place where they was at was too small, and sometimes that's good, but I've known people want to go because the place where they're at is cramping their style. And if you're going because you're growing healthily and naturally, then that's good. But if you're growing just because you don't want to stay within the restrictions and the constrictions of the learning environment that you're in, then that can be unhealthy and it can be destructive. Are you with me? I know people that have gone out and started churches when they're not even pastors. I know people that do ministry when they're not even called. I know people that start businesses, they ain't got a clue. Are you with me? People start diets and never stop eating. Huh? So, straight away, you have to look at what was this growth all about. But we carry on in verse 2. It says, please let us go to the Jordan, the river. The Jordan River is always associated with death, a crossover point, a time in your life where there has to be a decision that is made. When people crossed the Jordan, they crossed from slavery into freedom. But they crossed from a place where they'd come out of slavery in Egypt, gone around the wilderness, came to the Jordan, they had to cross over. But they crossed from slavery to responsibility. You have to understand that when you get set free or have a breakthrough in an area of your life, you're not just set free to do whatever you want. You're set free to do what's right. See, at one point you're bound to do wrong, but then you come to a place and you cross that Jordan River experience. You go from being bound to do wrong to being free to do right. But you still have to do right. So they came to the Jordan and there was going to be this was a watershed moment. And it said, every man take a beam from there. Let us make a place where we may dwell. So you see, everyone's got a part to play. Every single one of you has a part to play in God's kingdom. Everyone has a responsibility to build. It's not just a certain amount of people that build. It's not just the front row or the ones behind the screens or the ones on the platform. It's every single person. Whether you're a believer, whether you're an unbeliever, whether you're a visitor or you're a member, everyone has a responsibility to gather resource to build. So they go there and they do that. They ask, the prophet said, go on and crack on, go. So they got the blessing. So it's good, it's cool. And then one of them said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, all right, I'll come with you. This is important because sometimes we want to grow beyond the level of our training. We want to grow beyond our teachers. Some people can get to the point where they don't need teaching or training no more. Are you with me? You ever got to that point? Every one of you has got to that point when you became a teenager. All of a sudden, you didn't need mummy and daddy's advice no more. Hello? Huh? Some of you are the oldest teenagers in the world. Huh? You need to grow up from how you grew up then. Huh? But then we get to our 20s and we start having our own families and our own kids, and then all of a sudden we remember that mummy and daddy weren't as stupid as we thought they were. We actually become them. And it's the same in church and Christianity. You need teachers, you need trainers, you need people that are leading and guiding, showing you the way forward. You never outgrow that. I'm a senior pastor, a regional pastor. I oversee churches and ministries in different countries. I still have people that I go to and I ask, how do I do this? Because you get to a point in every single area of your life, whatever discipline you're in, be it sport, be it business, be it the medical profession, whatever it is, you're going to get to a point where you ain't got a clue what you're doing. Huh? One of the skills of a leader is to make people believe you know what you're doing, even when you don't. And then before you make a disastrous mistake, find someone who knows what they're doing and then ask them to teach you what they already know. You're always going to need that. So thankfully, he said, right, I'll come with you. He went blinded. Because, watch what happens. Then one said, please consent, go with your servants. He said, I went. So he went with them. When they came to the Jordan, they started cutting down trees. Then in verse 5 it says, but as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. So imagine the scene. He's there, he's cutting down a tree, he's got an axe head. He's cutting down a tree. All of a sudden, he takes a big old swing. Axe head comes off. Splash. Gone. Almost like one of them cartoons where he starts hitting the tree with a big stick. And this is the problem. See, many people, your future, your effectiveness of the present that's going to give way to the dreams coming true of the future, it gets lost somewhere. And then you're trying to plow forward using a big stick. In Christian terminology, it means that you're trying to do God's will in the flesh. You're trying to go forward without any spiritual backup at all. And you're trying to just get through with your own wisdom and your own devices. Has anyone ever done that? And you're just battering at that obstacle with a big stick. Hello. And then he says, why? See, this is where people lose their effectiveness. All of a sudden, his effectiveness was gone. He couldn't be part of the solution any longer. And if you're not part of the solution, you become what? You become part of the problem. And there he is. He's just got a big stick. But he says this. And he points to his teacher and he says, alas, master, it was borrowed. See, there came this situation where he wanted to go out and do something good, but he either hadn't prepared beforehand for him to go out there. In other words, he went out there, they were going to cut down trees, and he didn't have an axe. He hadn't prepared for that. He just thought that the trees were going to cut themselves down. He just thought that the business was going to start itself, that the money was going to be paid by itself, that, you know, the school fees were going to be paid, that the business was going to start, that the car was going to be filled with juice, that the cupboards were going to be filled, that all of these things were just going to happen by themselves, that an angel was going to come down with a pot of gold and just go boom. And how many times do we want our dreams to come true, but we're unprepared to actually go into that place, right? That's one scenario. The second scenario was that he got out there and then he looked around and he wanted to borrow someone else's axe because he couldn't be bothered or didn't have the faith or didn't have the understanding to invest in his own one. So he borrowed someone else's second axe, old axe. And that axe obviously hadn't been cared for. Some of you know, if you pay for something, you're going to look after it, right? We live in a world today of entitlement, don't we? Where a lot of millennials, people accuse the millennials. How many millennials we got in the house? Let me see your hands if you're a millennial. You know, there's more than that. How many millennials we got in the house? How many of you were born after 2000? Let me see your hands. Most of you are old, man. We got an old church. All right, how many of you were born in the 90s? How many of you were born in the noughties? How many of you still ain't been born? You don't know when you were born. Huh? Wow. But you know that today's society, people think that they're entitled. They've got an entitlement society. They want everything done for them. Huh? I just personally think that's young people. Because I was born in the 60s, baby. Huh? And I wanted my mum to do me washing. Hello. I still want my mum to do me washing. Huh? Praise the Lord. But when you've got an entitlement mentality, you don't take care of what it is that you've got or what it is that you've been given because you've never put any money into it. You haven't paid the price for it. And if you ain't paid the price for something, you might not value it as much. But how many of you know, when you've paid the price for something, you're going to value it. And the problem was that this guy got to a position, he got to a point in his life, and all of a sudden his effectiveness was gone because he was living on someone else's effectiveness. And there comes a point when every one of us has to grow up and live in our own effectiveness. You can't just survive under my anointing or their anointing or your wife's anointing. There's some men survive under their wife's prayer. Come on now, I've done that. I've lived for months under my wife's prayer. Hello. And she's lived for years under my care. But there he was. His effectiveness was gone. Now, what happens when your effectiveness goes? You start getting bored. You're not seeing the same results. That will lead to, you know, tiredness, apathy, a bit of lethargy. You're not seeing the outcome, so you want to quit, you want to give up, you don't want to press in, you don't want to do the same thing because you can't see anything happening. Huh? You lose heart, you lose courage, you lose strength, you lose faith. And if you lose those things, you lose the fruit and the harvest and the blessing and the future that would be coming your way. And many times we lose it because we've placed it in someone else's hands. We expect someone else to take care of our business for us. But I'm here to tell you right now, and I'm here to give you a message, that for this coming year, you've got to own your own future. You can't let the government decide your future. You can't let Brexit decide your future. You can't let your family or unsaved decide your future. You can't let society that doesn't understand or love Christ decide your future. You can't let the sun, the rain, the snow or the wind decide your future for you. You have to own it. And you have to invest in what it is you want to see the outcome for yourself. Then when you've invested it, when you've sown that seed, then you need to water it. You need to make sure that it's being taken care of, trusting that God's going to bring the increase. But there he was. His effectiveness was gone. I tell you right now, some of you in this place, your effectiveness is gone. You've been bored. You haven't wanted to come to church. You've wanted to hold back. You haven't wanted to invest your gift. You turn up late if you turn up at all. You don't give no more. You don't sow no more. You don't pay your tithes no more. You don't make an offering no more. You're not saying anything United We Can anymore. You're not involved. You're not in part of this team or that team or the other team. You've been drawing back, getting tired, getting weary, getting distracted. Come on now. You spend more time watching TV than you do praying to God. You spend more time eating than you do fasting. You spend more time doing fleshly things than spiritual things. Come on now. Hello? Am I talking to anyone right now? Wave your hand. God's watching. It happens. It happens. But how do we get it back? How many of you want to know how to get the cutting edge back? The effectiveness. You know, when I prayed about this message, I couldn't get a word. I was praying, God, give me a word for your children. Nothing. God, can you hear me? Nothing. God, please give me a word. Nothing. This morning, God, give me a word. Nothing. Then I prayed, God, what do you want to speak to me? It was like he said, you know, it was almost like he was saying, you've asked the right question now, son. I need to speak to you a little bit. Because I think you've lost your cutting edge. What? What do you mean, God? Well, you're very efficient, Paul, but your effectiveness. I used to pray and things would happen. Now I pray and things get in their boxes. I used to pray and boxes would disintegrate. I used to lay hands on the sick and see them get well. Lately, I've been laying hands on the sick and I've been getting sick. I've been catching what they got. Effectiveness is different to efficiency. Efficiency means that you can do more jobs in the same time. Effectiveness means that you can only do the jobs that you can do. And sometimes you've got to get rid of some stuff. Take care of business, but then do the things that only you can do. I'm going to write a book in 2018. I'm telling you this right now because I'm scared of writing a book. I hate writing. I'm not dyslexic. But I am a little bit funky when it comes to certain things, other things. I'm scared of writing a book, but I'm going to write a book. And now I'm told you I'm going to write a book. It's on YouTube, it's on Facebook. People are watching this all over the world. Stay on me, ask me how I'm getting on with writing a book. Don't leave me alone, but I'm going to write a book. That means I'm going to have to get rid of some other stuff that I was doing that was efficient but not effective, because only I can write this book. So I'm going to write a book. What are you going to do? Some of you need to write some songs. Some of you need to get out some albums. Some of you need to start up a business. Some of you need to create that new idea for that new answer to that problem that's arising right now. Some of you need to get into that new place, start that new job, get that new house, get involved in that new thing. Some of you need to do what it is that only you can do and become effective again, because you've lost your cutting edge and you've been trying to plow through the challenges of life waving a big stick. But God wants you to get your axe back, sharpen it up, get it ready. Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, if the axe blade is dull, it will take more strength to cut down a tree, but wisdom brings success. Wisdom comes from God. So you need to start asking God some stuff. Instead of telling God what you want all the time, or how miserable you are, or how hard it is. I had a picture once, and it was from, you remember that film, The Passion, by Mel Gibson? Well, it was very graphic, wasn't it? Jesus was beaten, smashed up, whipped, torn, waxed, whatever they'd done to him. Ripped his beard out, smashed him up, beat him. He was all bleeding. And then there was this caption, and there was the actor. He must have just come out of doing that part. Jim Caviezel, who was the one who played Jesus, sitting there, all messed up, bleeding, crown of thorns on his head. And Mel Gibson was sitting next to him in a chair, talking to him. And the caption said, that moment when you try to tell Jesus how hard your life has been lately. Huh? And instead of doing all that stuff, why don't you ask him, God, where have I gone wrong? What do you want me to do? Because when you're in that place, man, that's where the passion is birthed. That's when you just want to do it. Because you love it. Because it's you and it's your thing. And you love it and it gets you up in the morning. You start getting up earlier because you want to get involved in your thing. You'll fast if necessary. You'll get rid of this. You'll remove that. You'll stop doing this because you must see this come to pass because it's your passion. And then you're becoming effective again. Huh? Some of you got a passion for prayer. Some of you got a passion for evangelism. Some of you have got a passion for teaching and training and kids ministry. Some of you have got a passion for creativity. Some of you got a passion for music. Whatever your passion is, get back to the place of effectiveness. This is how he did it. Watch this. The man of God, Elisha, he said, where did it fall? Where did it fall? This takes honesty. Where did you lose it, man? Where did you lose your passion? Where did you become part of the matrix? Huh? When did you become a slave to everyone else? When did you become one of those people that just made money for your boss? You know the story, the story of the guy who works faithfully in his business and he's there every day, and he had Christmas Day off and Boxing Day, and then he was back at work again, and you know he was working hard and his boss was in the Caribbean somewhere, and then you know it came New Year's Day, he had that day off, and then the day after he was there and his boss pulled up in a new Ferrari and the man was there waiting for him, and he said to his boss, wow, what a beautiful new car. And his boss said, yeah, isn't it? He said, and if you keep doing what you're doing, I'll be able to get another one next year. When did you lose it? When did you lose your creativity and your passion? When did you lose your cutting edge? Where did it fall? What about, was it when you had kids? Some of you know kids will blunt your cutting edge, man. Huh? Definitely blunt your passion. Hello. Sleepless nights and kids in the bed. Come on now. Especially when they're 14. When did you lose it? Where did it fall? Man showed him. Then the prophet did this. He got a stick, a branch. In the languages of the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, correspond in this. And this stick, this branch, comes from words that are used to speak of the cross, the wood of the cross, the tree that Jesus hung upon, Zulon. And he got the branch and he threw it in at that point. And the axe head began to rise. Miracle. But you know, when you lose the cutting edge in life, the only way to get it back is through the cross. When you lose your passion for life, when you lose what it means to be alive, when you lose the essence, the passion, the purpose, you can get it back. But you get it back through Christ. You have to take him to that place. And you have to take that place to him. And there has to be a meeting. And you give him all of your wrongs. You give him all your doubts. You give him all your fears. You give him all your distractions. You load him down with all your ambitions and all that stuff. And you put it there at the cross. And then it begins to rise. There's a miracle that takes place, greater than legs growing, ears growing, noses growing, deaf people hearing. Spirits begin to come back alive. All of a sudden, purpose starts to flood your being. Passion comes back into your heart. There's a fire that burns in your veins. There's someone that you know that you've been called to be. Somewhere that you've been called to be it. Something that you've been called to do. And it is all-encompassing. It is life flowing through you, throbbing in your veins. Your heart begins to beat again. It's like you're falling in love all over again. But instead of just falling in love with a beautiful person, you've fallen in love with a beautiful future. And that future, that destiny, the reason why you were born, all of a sudden it becomes clear again and it rises up in front of you and you see it and you want it and you do anything for it. And then the prophet said to him, pick it up for yourself. Many people even get to this point, they come to altars, they pray, they do this, they do that, and then they want someone else to hand it to them on a plate. No. I'm a man of faith. I love the Lord. I've served him the best I can. Even in my worst of times. But I've lived for him. I've gone forward in him. Me and my wife, we live right. We don't mess around. There's no scandal attached to us. Testimonies are good. We've suffered. But I have to pick up my own. I can't pick yours up for you. You've got to do it. And that's the problem. Because most people want someone else to give them their future. God's got it. He knows where it is. Now so do you. But you've got to pick it up. How do you do that? Well, some people do it on their knees. Some people do it with their hands lifted up. Some people do it at an altar. Some people do it sitting in their seat. Some people do it speaking inwardly. Some people do it shouting outwardly. But every single person that does it personally. There's no secondhand salvation. It don't matter if your nan was saved, your dad was saved, your husband or your wife is saved. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you're doomed and damned, and that's it. And you would have taken yourself into hell. But just as you receive salvation for yourself, you receive destiny for yourself. You've got to do it yourself. Close your eyes. Father, in this place, new year is dawning, calendar year is dawning. People have stumbled through this season wearily, distractedly, like a car coming to a stop in the middle of a motorway because it's run out of fuel. places of danger. Temptation's always there, Father, you know that. Challenges will always come. But God, you've given us the ability, the knowledge, the opportunity, not to let our future be held by anyone except you, not to believe our future is in the hands of anyone else. But this is a personal transaction between you and us. And even if we've had it before and we've lost it, we can get it again. Father, I pray in this place that you would release such a sense of liberty and opportunity in this place. Help people's eyes see again the future that you have for them. And if they've never seen it, show them now. Give them vision of a future of destiny and dignity and belonging that will take their breath away. It's not about what they have to give up as much as what they get to receive. Let them put down what's in their hand and open up their empty hand to you, who wants to fill it with something better. So, Father, in this place, release the Holy Spirit. Move amongst us, oh God. Sharpen us back up. Take us back to the place of effectiveness, of passion. Because we're the light of the world. Help us to shine, burn with that passion within. In the name of Jesus. I want you all to stand to your feet in this place. Something incredible could take place right now. When I say that, when people say that, when preachers say that, sometimes we think that there's going to be all lights and bells and whistles and angels blowing trumpets. And I'll be honest with you, that has happened. We've had angels in this place. People have seen them. Because they're real. But it's not about that. Sometimes we want to feel some rush, like you've had an ecstasy tablet or a hit of crack or snorted something. But that's not how it is either. But there's a deep knowing inside your being that you know that you've contacted, interacted with, touched a divine God, and that your life is going to be different. There's a renewing, a refreshing, like you've had a good sleep, a nice cup of tea, or whatever does your thing. But you know that what wasn't now is, that what was gone is back, and the future is looking good again. Lift up your hands. Just as I said, I can't do it for you. We can create an atmosphere, but the response is yours. The worship team are going to sing as they do and create an atmosphere for you to do what it is that you want to do. You can look around, you can get distracted, you can think about leaving, going home, doing what you got to do, going home for dinner. Or you can decide that, you know what, right now in this place, this is the place where I get my cutting edge back. This is where I'm coming to the cross. This is where I'm bringing it to Jesus. This is where I'm receiving back my passion. This is where I'm getting back my effectiveness. And then tomorrow is going to be a new day, and I'm going to wake up with joy. The enemy's still going to be there, but he's going to get cut down. The trees are going to be in my way, but they're going to get cut down. The mountain's going to be there, but it's going to move. The obstacles are still going to be there, but they won't be there for long, because the future beckons and God has given it to me. If that's you in this place, come to the altar, come to the cross, come and lay your life down again. And let God begin to resurrect those dreams, resurrect your passion, resurrect that future that it is that you longed for, that you believed for, that you held dear. Come on. It's just a response. That's all it is. It's nothing magical happens here in this space.
but something supernatural definitely can. Come on, all over this place as the worship team begin to worship.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.